Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture with members of the But Why Though writing staff. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Nisha.
Hey.
And Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
This week, we're going to be talking about lost media, those things that we know existed but can't really find at the moment. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about the news. I had a hard time figuring out what to talk about for the news this week, guys. There was, I don't know if you saw the Pixar layoffs, which, if I remember right, the Animators Guild does have some negotiations coming up potentially this summer. Does that sound right?
It does. I'm pretty sure that it's supposed to be this summer that they, like, renegotiate a few more things. Like, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, this was the largest layoff in Pixar's history. The downsizing... Let me see. It was expected to, at the start, since the start of the year, but was less than predicted. Prior estimates said that it would be about 20% of workers, which is about 260 people. So yeah, it's not insignificant. And I should clarify that the 260 was what people were bracing for. It ended up being 175, which was 14% of its workforce. But yeah, I just feel like they've been ramping up with Inside Out 2, and I feel like in general, people have been, you know, I don't want to say like really excited about them because there was definitely a bit of a Pixar dip, but I feel like, you know, I don't hear anybody talking about how much they hate Pixar. So seeing them downsize by that many people seems pretty notable. So hopefully this, you know, is something that is in people's heads fresh going into the negotiations and getting those protections for people, because I think that's needed. At any rate, this is another huge layoff in another creative industry. I think there were also more studio closures. And again, this is why I struggled to come up with a good news segment, because it's all a bummer. Do you guys have any news that you wanted to talk about? Or the other one that I threw out to Matt was to talk about the guy who ate a gigantic jar of cheese balls in New York. Here's a good one. And this might have been something that we should have talked about last time. Hades 2 is officially in early access, which if you did not play Hades 1, it's an incredible game. The cool thing with Hades 2 being in early access is that it apparently already has more in it than the other game did when it launched officially. So this is like a studio that is respected, that makes quality content. Have a game in early access, getting great reviews, the community's rallying around it. And I feel like that's the kind of positivity that I'm looking for in the news, is just seeing a studio that's like, hey, we're not laying people off. We're actually just releasing a great game for you guys to enjoy.
I will take that. Yes. Yes, please.
Yeah. If you haven't played Hades, it's a roguelike themed around Greek mythology, and it's super fun, and the original game is fun and the sequel is fun. So go check those out. But moving past that onto the main segment, let's talk about things that are harder to get. Let's get into lost media, which is exactly what it sounds like, more or less. It's stuff that we know was here that we either can't find, like it seemingly no longer exists. This isn't really the stuff that you can't get legally, because there's definitely stuff that you can get illegally. This is the stuff that you can't get at all, or that has just kind of been forgotten. No one really remembers, is looking for it, or cares. I think what I wrote in the notes is that to me it feels like pop culture archaeology. It's like lost, hidden treasures, things that you dig up that you're like, it's like, this is what I'm looking for. I know it existed at one point and I want it again. I guess kind of just to get into things, like how does lost media happen? And do you guys have any lost media, like off the top of your heads, that you want to talk about?
I mean, I definitely have a lot to talk about. I guess, like, should we discuss like how it happens first? Like how do you want to dive into it?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. So one of the ways that it happens is disaster, which sounds dramatic, but like a very easy example to point to is 1965, MGM had a fire in one of their vaults and it destroyed like a bunch of film reels, including like the last known copies of Greta Garbo's The Divine Woman and Lon Chaney's London After Midnight. Like those movies just straight up don't exist anymore because those were the copies. And I feel like vault fires are not completely uncommon, or, you know, just, yeah, it's like something was left to rot, or I don't know what was lost in it, but Mirage Studios, the Ninja Turtles original publisher, had a flood at one point at their studio. Ooh. And I think some stuff was damaged or lost in that, some older issues. And then there's also copyright is another reason. So In the late 60s, there was a Filipino movie called Batman Fights Dracula, and it's exactly what it sounds like. And that movie you cannot find anymore. There's also movies that were never actually released. So I think the big example here is Batgirl. Nisha, do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah. So essentially, like, we all heard about Batgirl being made, like, being, like, that it was in production and getting updates. Like, we all knew who the cast was and everything, and that it was completed. And then,
oh yeah, and like set photo stills even were coming out. Like, hey, here's the costume, here's the vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we saw, we knew a movie was coming. Like, it wasn't just like a lie that was sold to us. Like, it was a legit movie. We had, no one had seen a trailer, at least for what I remember. I don't know if you guys ever saw a trailer for it. But I guess
no.
I think they just tested it with audiences, and then they decided that it wasn't worth putting out, and they wanted to shelve it. And they, a lot of people seem to think because the lead character for Batgirl was a Black woman that that had something to do with it. And I'm just like, but this, like, why? Like, obviously, like, yes, there's trolls on the internet. Oh, there's all these other things. And, like there had been debates and, like, arguments about, like, the casting for Batgirl. I just feel like you've already filmed it. So you came to this conclusion. Like, was the, and the thing is, like, people don't know, is, like, was the movie truly that bad? Or was it that y'all didn't, y'all were afraid of a loss? Or was it just that, like, is there some kind of insurance to be claimed because you shelved this movie?
Yeah, and it definitely feels like it was a, we're going to shelf this for, so that we can get the taxes written
taxes,
off on it.
Yeah,
especially because, you know, which is Madame Web shows you that, like, your movie could be bad and it could still have a second life because people like beating a joke. Like, there's just, there's just, well, the reasoning is just not there.
It's not.
You also just never know what's going to become a cult classic, you know? Like, I mean, Rocky Horror, when it came out, was, like, nobody liked it, and then it found its niche, and it has never left theaters since.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, just canceling it for taxes, it's nothing. Other examples of this, the Wile E. Coyote versus Acme movie is another one that that most recently has just been like, hey, we're putting it on the shelf even though we filmed it. And there was actually a synopsis that leaked online that I read through, and I was like, this is a good movie, and it bums me out that this is the most I'm going to get of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for an older example, I just want to talk about this because it's insane. In the mid-80s, somebody made a feature-length spoof of E.T. called P.P. the Planetary Pal. This movie was filmed. It was finished. It was edited. And then they were in negotiations for distribution, and the distributor ran off with it.
Dang.
And so there is no copy of this movie that exists anymore. And the whole premise for it was, well, what if E.T. ran into, like, an actual teenager the way that teenage boys actually are? And so it was like just this, like, rotten child who was terrible to him. But they filmed the whole movie, and then just it never came out because it was basically stolen and now no longer exists. And then I think the last way that forgotten media happens, or lost media happens, is that we stop caring and we just sort of forget. We literally forget about it. And as it fades from our memory, the effort put into preserving it or making it available also fades.
Mm-hmm.
And an example that I thought of for this, and I'm sure there's many others, is there was a sitcom called Aliens in the Family that was on TGIF in the 90s. It aired for 2 weeks, and then they dropped it from the lineup, and they aired the rest of it on Saturday mornings. It was basically, what if a human got abducted by aliens and then married one of the aliens, and then they try to live a normal life on Earth as a mixed family? Learning all the wrong lessons from, like, the dinosaur sitcom about, like, doing an animatronic offbeat whatever. But yeah, that show is basically lost. Or do you guys remember the Baby Bob sitcom? Does that ring a bell?
Wait, was it a cartoon?
No.
No, this was live action.
I'm thinking of Bobby's World. Never mind. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, so Baby Bob was literally, the whole premise of the show is, what if this couple had a baby that could talk? And I think eventually that character just kind of became like a mascot for, like, some stock investment website or something. But yeah, that's a show that, like, I'm aware of it, and it has come up with other people, and no one knows what I'm talking about ever. But also probably for good reason. I don't think it was a good show. I remember them hyping it up a lot, and the premise did not really last past the first episode. But anyways, all that to say, that's some examples of lost media. Do you guys have any that you kind of thought of when we came up with this episode idea? Nisha, I know that originally this was your idea for an episode. So if you want to talk about that or kind of what interests you about this, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I can kind of dive in. So lately I have been just like getting back into collecting more manga, like physical copies, not just reading them on Viz or Shonen Jump. And for the life of me, I cannot find like Zatch Bell is not on the Shonen Jump app. It's not on Viz Media. And I'm just like, where can I read the anime? Like, not anime. Where can I, well, watch the anime too, because the anime is not available anywhere. So that kind of led me down a rabbit hole. Come to find out, like, I learned that the creator of Zatch Bell had a falling out with basically the parent company that owns Viz Media. And that is why, and like, this was a few years ago.
Okay.
And it's because there was some mishandling of his manuscripts, and which resulted in some of his like artwork being lost. Like, it's just lost. Don't know where it is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it's like, he was one of the first manga creators to sue the publisher and basically be like, and he took it as a, he made it as a stand because of the mistreatment and the pressure that the editors and staff put on them, like the publisher puts on the manga creators and mistreats them and mistreats their work. And he's like, no, this is a stand because like we need to be treated better and our work should be valued more.
Yeah.
So he sued, he won, he was awarded the damages, and then he left, he cut ties, which means like for the English distribution of Zatch Bell, that cut ties with Viz Media, which means what is currently printed out there for Zatch Bell is what is out there for English. Like, there's been reprints in other regions, but English has not had a reprint. And it's really interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you go down the rabbit hole,
yeah,
and like kind of like learn more about like why he did it. And then like other manga creators went about it too. They were just like, no, we do need to stand up for ourselves. And like, especially because when you think about it, like their manuscripts typically, traditionally, it is fine for like the publisher to hold on to it. But in this case, like, he handed it over to them, and then they just like said, like, oh, we lost it.
This just makes me think that the never actually released category should be rebranded to corporate nonsense.
Yeah.
And there are other examples of that. Like, one of the big ones, I just learned about this. I don't know if you guys knew about this. So that hip-hop group De La Soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of Native Tongues, like with Queen Latifah, Tribe Called Quest, like big in the New York scene. The way their distribution contract was worded didn't really account for digital. So it wasn't available digitally until 2023.
And that's wild.
Like, if you had a CD, you had a tape, whatever, but it was not legally available digitally until literally last year.
Yeah.
Completely insane.
No.
So much lost money.
Yeah. And again, corporate nonsense. The other one that I thought of for that is the Silent Hill PT demo, where Sony just straight up was like, yeah, it's not available anymore. We're flipping the switch. And it was a demo. It was free. There was literally no harm in letting it be out there, but they just shut it down. But anyway, back to Zatch Bell, back to manga and distribution. And you said it was reprinted in other countries, but just not in English.
Not English, because I guess, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, Shonen Jump, Viz Media, they're all owned by, like, Shueisha. I'm probably getting this wrong, but, like, there's a parent company that, like, they all are under.
Okay.
So, like, that parent company is the one that he had the lawsuit with. So that means rights and stuff were taken away when he left the company. And rightfully so. But by the way, his name is Makoto Raiku. So essentially, he owns the rights to his work. If he wants to have Zatch Bell back out there, it's gonna happen on his terms. He has started like self-publishing his own like his older stuff.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But there's no news if Zatch Bell will be coming out. But apparently, there's been rumors of like a sequel to Zatch Bell. So it's like, I have hope. But at the same time, talking about things currently, like in today's news, like, you may be lucky if you can find Zatch Bell for like $20 as a volume on like being resold on Amazon, which is a lot. And then I went to thriftbooks.com.
And that's just for like one volume.
One volume. And then when you get to like volume 25, because, you know, resellers are going to do what they're going to do when you have a rare print, it's like $500 on eBay right now. because it's the only, like, they're not in high, there's just, like, there's a high demand for it, for that series, but it's, like, if I want to read it and I don't want to pirate it off of, like, online, I literally have to either save up my money and just buy each manga, like, maybe once a month.
Oh, yeah.
And if I'm lucky, if it's available. I'm
saying it'll take you a few years.
Yeah, definitely gonna take me a few years, and I probably will never buy the 25th volume, because I cannot justify spending $500 on one manga. I get why it's valuable. I totally understand it. It's just frustrating because, like, you want to, like, revisit this anime, because Zatch Bell came on Toonami back in the day, and I loved it. Like, okay. Yeah. So, like, getting into the anime, it's not on Amazon Prime. It's listed on Crunchyroll and Amazon Prime, but it'll say not available in your region. I don't understand if that means, like, other regions, like, over in Asia or Europe, if they can access it, and if it's just, like, Americans can't access it. But, like, I have looked. Yeah. The only place that that supposedly you can watch it is on this library streaming service. That's free, but your library has to be partnered with the streaming service in order to access it. It's called Hoopla, like Hoopla.
Oh, I have Hoopla. Let me check right now.
Oh my God, please, because I have been trying to find a library that is partnered and get a card there.
Zatch Bell Dub seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4 are showing.
Oh my God. Okay, well, my mission this weekend is to just go ahead and get a library card. Oh, that is awesome.
It looks like it's all of it, as far as I can tell.
That is good enough for me. I mean, I do think, like, that's something to be said. I think that's great that they put it on Hoopla, so, like, it's still accessible. It's just, like, you know, you have to do a little more digging to find out, like, where you can watch it. Compared to, like, you know.
Although, wait, how many episodes are there?
I think there's, like, did it make it to, like, the 60s? How many episodes is there in Zatch Bell?
Oh, then this doesn't even seem to have everything, then, because there's, like, 11 to 13 episodes per season and only 4 seasons.
Oh, okay, well then, still technically Lost Media then.
Adrian, do you have a special vested interest in Lost Media?
I think I just have a vested interest in weird stuff happening, I think, for me.
Okay.
Like, you know, I think, like, the fact that, like, the Toy Story almost got deleted, you know, back to Pixar, but, you know, that first cut of Toy Story only being available because that lady was working from home that
someone
day.
Happened to have a backup.
Yeah, if not, we would have lost that entire cut. And, you know, obviously I'm a big Star Wars guy, so the, you know, the lost cuts of, like, the Star Killer stuff, or, you know, the other direction that the entire series could have gone if George had liked that.
Star Wars is an interesting one, because a New Hope had multiple cuts that were released to theaters. And people didn't, because I remember reading, it was that there's a scene, I think, of Luke talking to Biggs that was in some reels that went out, but not all of them. And then there were people who were like, yeah, like that one scene, you know, with XYZ. And people were like, what the hell are you talking about? That's not in the movie. And I think it's been released online since then. Like, you can go and watch it, but it was just like they put out multiple cuts for some reason. And honestly, I think what bugs me with that is that the cut scene with Biggs, in my mind, adds a lot to the movie overall, because it's like, it's Biggs telling Luke that he joined the rebellion. And Luke is like, that's a good way to get yourself killed. Are you stupid? Like, he's not into it when Biggs says it. He thinks that it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So then to get to the end of the movie where Luke is like, yeah, I'm going to blow up a space station. All right, cool. You know, that's some character growth.
Yeah, it makes Luke a little bit, you know, less whiny in A New Hope, which I always love. Yeah, so it's not anything like that. And I'm also just personally, like, in my own personal life, just accumulating more, you know, physical DVDs and Blu-rays and things like that, because it's so hard to find the things that I want to watch. And I don't want to be in Nisha's situation, but with DVDs soon, where, you know, there's going to be an obscure show that I love, but I can't get it anywhere else, legally, right? Because that's what we're talking about, legally, because you want to do things legally when you can. But you know, it's getting to the point where I'm just, you know, looking at my Plex server a little bit more every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's interesting too, because there are some things where this movie exists, like it's thoroughly documented, and then you just can't access it anywhere.
Right.
And like all that stuff is like a weird middle ground, I feel like, of like it's not lost, but it is like
the Nintendo,
unless you're gonna go out and like hunt it.
Yeah, like the Nintendo eStore thing where it's like any games on there were no longer accessible. And I think that that affected the DS and the Wii U platforms the most.
DS, 3DS, and Wii U when they shut down the eShops.
Yeah, and unless they put them
And I was like, all right, cool. It's interesting too, because one thing that I noticed while I was looking at this was all of like movies and TV, especially the list of things that are lost gets shorter the closer you get to the present day. And I don't know if that's because we have this like mind shift towards preserving things, or if it's just that technology has made it harder to lose. But then when you have things like that of like, yeah, Nintendo flipped a switch, turned off a server, and these things are now, you know, gone, because most people don't know how to ROM dump off of a 3DS, you know? So I guess it's like, is technology actually making it harder to lose things, or is it actually making it easier because a corrupted hard drive is, or losing a hard drive is easier than burning down a vault at MGM?
Yeah, you know, but I would say the other side of that. I'd say I'm thinking about like my own lost media. Where are my MySpace videos at? They're gone.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They're gone forever. Those are corporate decisions. Those are videos that are just gone. We talk about these overarching lost media, but think about all the media that we lose digitally of ourselves because we kind of are married to that thing. I have some videos on MySpace of like me doing skits on World of Warcraft that I'll never be able to like share with anybody because it's gone forever. And that's a corporate decision. No, nothing burned down. You know, I didn't delete something.
Yeah.
It's just gone, and I have no way to get it back.
Because of the whole TikTok situation, like, that is kind of, that could happen. That could happen again, like, if things go the way and TikTok is not either bought or you know, whatever they want to do.
Anything that wasn't exported and uploaded to YouTube and Instagram would just
go away.
Yeah. Yep. And actually, Adrian, you jogged my memory. When I was in high school, there was this local band in the Tacoma area that I liked called The Cap Gun. And they put out like a 3-track demo. I never picked it up. And I had like going through like Internet Archive and like old Pure Volume website page saves and all this stuff. I was able to recover those 3 songs. As far as I know, I am the only person in existence who still has that 3-track EP that they put out.
That's amazing.
It's like, if it weren't for that, that would be lost. And then actually, while I was looking for that, I was talking to people who I was in high school with of like, hey, do you guys have this or whatever? And what we ended up doing was setting up a Google Drive where people could deposit CDs from the music scene from our town in that era. And so a couple of people actually like kicked in and were like, oh yeah, like here's this, like enjoy. I was like, oh, this is actually really cool because this is all stuff that I thought was lost and that I would never get to listen to again. But people just happen to still have the CDs and be able to restore it. And I think personal lost media is like a really hard one. Cause like you were saying, even with your MySpace stuff, that reminded me, like my parents have basically a Rubbermaid bin full of photos. My siblings and I call it it's the picture box, and I don't have that equipment. Like I have like a shoe box with like some Polaroids, some, you know, Instax and, pictures that I've taken from my family's photo box. But like, I don't have my phone, you know, reel printed out physically and like much harder to lose. I do have it backed up to the cloud, but you know, corporate decision, if Apple's like, actually, we're going to start deleting things, like, I can't fix that. Personal media as lost media is definitely like its own weirdness of like the ways that we've tied ourselves to digital things have made it easier to lose things.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you attribute a lot of like what you're doing on the day-to-day basis as value, right? That could hit you harder than not having a cut of the third draft of, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. I think how much Star Wars lost media is there? I'm just curious. Cause I feel like,
I don't think there's a lot. honestly. I think that
The holiday special was lost for a little bit, right? Or yeah, am I misremembering
kind of like
that?
That's kind of like the big one that everyone that is the biggest one, I would say, because I was looking into it even before this, and outside of maybe some drafts that George maybe never let anyone else see, there really isn't. And then obviously you have games that are canceled that are said to be in development, that have been test images and stuff like that that never come out, especially for, like, you know, the bounty hunter games that never get greenlit.
Okay.
So, but I think it's because, one, they're just really good about preserving stuff there, but also because of things like you mentioned, where you're just really dedicated to making sure that those things preserve. You'll get a community together, and yeah. Star Wars just has a really big community that's big about preserving that art.
That's true. Those nerds aren't going to let things disappear.
No way. Because they're going to meme it, you know, they're going to hate it, they're going to love it, they're going to do all the things to it, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. Which, actually, Disney and Star Wars is kind of making me think, we definitely, at this point, I think, are making more media than we've ever made, like, just as a people, but we seem to be losing less. And, again, that goes back to the, like, is this a preservation thing, or is this just that it's easier to keep stuff, like... You would think that we'd be losing more shows because, like, Netflix is pumping out how many shows, and I don't think they're disappearing off of the, you know, off of the service. Like, they're just, like, leaving everything up there.
Right.
So yeah, like what, like, do you think that that's just a corporation trying to, like, build out its library, or is it like what's the motive there? Like, what's going on that we're not losing things now?
I do feel like the corporations are more aware, or at least cognizant of, like, hey, this thing is really popular, we need to make sure we keep it here, because, like, this is, like, our bread and butter. Like, Disney Plus is not going to get rid of That's So Raven. It's not going to get rid of Hannah Montana. But it's like, when you look at the stuff that like they do purge from the library, I'm like, why did you get rid of, like, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century? Like, that is a cult classic Disney original movie.
Wait, they got rid of that?
Yeah, so, like, that, like, before we started recording, apparently there was a purge, and, like, there's, like, a list of film, like, shows and, like, films that were taken off of there. But I'm just like, how, like, was it taken off and then put back on? Or, like, I don't know why, like, some stuff, like, I know Brandy and Mr. Whiskers is not on there. Like, that's, like, probably one that is probably more of a, I don't even know if we can call it a cult classic, but, like, that is one that's not on there. And it's like, okay, but why would you guys remove it? But apparently you can buy it for $1.99 an episode. And I noticed that with a lot of stuff that's removed from some of the streaming platforms, like Generator X, you can watch it on Apple TV if you pay $1.99 an episode. And Exactly, on other platforms that they can make more money off of it. And I think that's the interesting thing, because, like, the same thing is with the Mighty Ducks animated series. Like, that's not on there anymore either. That also doesn't have a DVD. You can only watch the movie that they made on VHS. So, like, there is that I guess is technically now lost media, because it's not on Disney Plus anymore. And it's like, I don't know if it's like is it more of a like capitalistic decision? I mean, obviously, like, the main reason all of us, like, got Disney Plus is because Disney has such a huge library in the first place of all of our favorite things. Same thing with HBO Max, now Max, whatever it's calling themselves. But then you're like, wait, but you guys don't have Dexter's Lab anymore on Max. What's the deal with that? And, like, where are these shows? Oh yeah, I looked.
I feel like,
man, you know, and I think that, like, the first thing for me is, like, it's one thing, because I think the other side of it is, like, well, just be glad you ever had it, right? Because if Disney Plus never did this, then we never had it. But you put it on there in the first place, and then you took it away. So it feels like baseline level kindergarten playground things. You brought thing, you showed thing, you're like, oh, nope, it's mine. Now no one gets to have it for some reason, unless you give me more than what you're already giving me.
I think what's going on with Disney is that they realize that streaming and digital has killed their boogeyman, the vault, and now they're trying to figure out how do we keep going. Because that's been Disney's strategy forever. Is like, well, we can't afford to like print VHS tapes of Sleeping Beauty all day, every day. Like, that's not practical. So we're going to put it in the vault so that, you know, we're not having to do that. We'll bring it out for an anniversary, print some more copies, let people buy it, vault it again.
Right.
And digital just killed that. Like, there is no incentive anymore for that. And so they were like, cool, people will subscribe. But then they're realizing that people are like subscribing, watching what they want, and then canceling. And so they're like, well, now what do we do? And so now it's just Disney trying to figure out how long of a stick they need to put this carrot on to keep people moving.
Got a lot to see to that.
I'm not impressed, is what
Disney,
I'll say.
ESPN Max Peacock bundle.
And that's the frustrating
part. Is that the one that Comcast just announced?
No, I don't even know that's a real bundle, but it could be. It could be
by next year.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that makes me so irritated with these streaming platforms, because like, I do have like DVDs of some things. Like, I have most of the Lupin the Third animated, like, not, well, obviously most, all of it's animated, it's anime, but like the features, like the feature films, I have most of the movies for Lupin the Third. And I'm like, and I will probably go ahead and collect the rest of those. And I used to like have a thought of like, do I really want to keep buying DVDs? Because like, I've bought some DVDs, like I have a Jurassic World on DVD. I'm like, I ain't watched that movie at all. I have not cracked open that DVD, but if the cable went out, or like if streaming was messed up or Wi-Fi was down, I'd be happy. I have some DVDs for entertainment while I wait for my internet to come back on.
Yeah.
So there is like this whole like, okay, there's value in still collecting DVDs. But then there's the whole like, you know, what we're talking about, like there's media that like we really, really enjoyed growing up that it seems really frustrating and unfair that these corporations can decide like what is valued and what's not. But then, like you said, like maybe that's their way of making money on the back end, is like, we've already bled you dry for your subscription. Let's go ahead and take this series that we know some people really like and put it on Apple TV or Amazon Prime for $1.99. Where I'm just like, but why isn't it on like in the catalog for the studio that it was made? That's the frustrating part.
Yeah.
Like, why do I have to pay for it when it should be with the studio?
Yeah. Well, I'm realizing now that what we're building to is the "but why though" classic of capitalism is the real villain, because I think we can all agree there's a lot of interesting reasons that things are lost media. Like, there's a lot of really cool, interesting stories. Like, there, Margaret Hamilton on Sesame Street, they aired it like a couple times and were like, kids got scared, parents got pissed, we're putting it in the vault. That's super interesting. But more often than not, it's, we're going to vault this because, like, either we don't want to pay residual checks to the people involved, or we think it's more lucrative to make it, like, artificially scarce. Because the actual cost of hosting those videos and all that stuff, like, it's nothing for how big these corporations are. And the reason that a lot of media ends up quote unquote lost is because it's getting vaulted. It's getting, you know, put away or written off for tax purposes. And so, yeah, we're coming down on like lost media. Yes, there's cool reasons things get lost and there's fun stories, but capitalism is the villain again. And I can't wait for the episode where that's not the case.
Are we just like the Scooby-Doo gang
and also,
at this point, like unmasking capitalism?
Yeah, and it's always capitalism. And I want to say even the other day, there was like, I was trying to find some Scooby-Doo thing and it was like, oh, it's not streaming on the place that has all the other Scooby-Doo stuff. And I wish I could remember what it was. It was one of the movies, but yeah, man, that's frustrating. And this also, as we, I think to me, it seems fair to say that a lot of pop culture and media has shifted to this like consumption mentality, like you consume it, watch it, be part of the discourse. And maybe these are like chronically online problems. But I'm wondering how much of that consumption mentality contributes to both to and against the conservation effort with media, the preservation effort.
That is a great question.
Like, I mean, is there a point in preserving media if it's like, I'm going to binge this season, talk to my friends about it for a weekend, and then never think about it again?
Damn.
It's a great point. I mean, it's a great point. I think that I'm looking at it of a way that relates to me, and I think about how we are so excited about trailers these days and the things that they go into trailers mm-hmm. And overanalyzing and consuming those things. And then we get to the actual movie and some of those things aren't in the actual movie. Mm-hmm. And then we see like those entire cuts that are gone. And I think like that is the consumption that keeps those pieces going in the media. Because yeah. if we didn't care so much about, you know, the trailer not being so close or wondering why this looked differently, we would just like let it go. But I just think that like those are just those binge. If you're binging and it's going, there's always going to be more people who aren't binging and going and staying super ingrained in the media that'll find ways to kind of keep it going. I think that's just like how we are as people. We like, I think we've talked about it before. Yeah. We like things that are ours. And if we know that
yep.
we've kept those things alive by talking about those things. If you can tell me about that three song album oh, that yeah. I had no idea existed, I think that's keeping it alive. And I think we just love to do that naturally as humans.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you about it. There was a song called Gasoline Alley Sounds Like a Partnership to me. And the opening to it is the do you remember the Family Guy episode where they have to go into witness protection and it's where they introduce the creepy old pervert neighbor?
Yeah.
It's literally an audio clip of that neighbor character. And then it just goes into like a post-hardcore breakdown immediately. And like, that's the kind of music that it was where it's like, these guys didn't care about Family Guy. They just were like, that's a weird audio clip. Throw it in there. But it's good music. Like, I enjoyed it. It's, you know, for my little, like, mid-2000s emo self. But yeah, I hadn't thought about that, of, like, this becomes its own form of, like, storytelling, of, like, being able to recount these things or tell these things to people. Because here's an example, actually. So right now, I'm in the process of reading through all of the Sailor Moon manga, and then watching it every now and then when I get a chance to with my wife. The problem is she grew up in the 90s like I did. And so what she wants to see is the Deke dub, which like you, that's one that you just can't find legally. And even when you find it illegally, it's like a little bit expensive. But like that whole version of the show is like kind of lost. Like you can track it down if you're, you know, focused on it, but like, they just were like, no, we're doing a new audio dub. The old one's gone. And I think there's My Neighbor Totoro also got redubbed, didn't it?
I think so.
I think, yeah, they like did a whole second dub with new actors to make it fresh. And it was like, I don't know why you needed to do that. But now there are people who have, like, I think my niece and nephew have only seen the new dub. They have no idea what the old one is. Not that they would care. They're, you know, children. But like even something like that where a media is...
Good luck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even when a media is still available, the version of it that you want could be lost.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
yeah, I was just talking to someone with someone the other night that he was rewatching Dragon Ball, but he was having a hard time watching it because he watched it in the Oceania dub. And when he was growing up, it was so hard to find the other seasons in that dub, and he was one of the people who like wrote a letter asking them to go back and redub it so that they can have that same experience with the media that everyone else had, even though a version of it existed. It wasn't the same version that, and
yeah,
you know, not the same. It's just not the same if you don't see it
through. Yeah, definitely. I just had, this is unrelated to that, I just had a realization. There's a whole category of lost media that we forgot about, and that is censored media. Because specifically what I was thinking of is I have a bunch of Simpsons DVDs, and there is an episode on there called Stark Raving Dad, where there is a man that Homer meets in an insane asylum who says that he's Michael Jackson, and that episode has been removed from streaming and effectively, like, it's gone.
I remember that so
there's
vividly.
Also the episode...
I'm sorry.
It's a great episode. There's... No, you're good. I'm just like thinking of like, there's all these like little, like it's because with a TV show, it's rarely the whole show is gone. It's like we deleted the episode of Community where Chang paints himself as a drow because it looks like blackface.
Ooh.
Or, you know, which it, the interesting thing with that one, though, is as soon as he pops up dressed as a drow, surely the black woman in the group says that's racist. Like they name it immediately. But that apparently was not enough, and they like have just removed it unless you buy the DVDs. And even then, it wouldn't surprise me if like future DVD printings don't include that episode. But yeah, the whole like censored episodes, and I'm sure that that's like its own episode we could do of like the lost episodes of shows, I feel like is a whole phrase. And like the unproduced episodes of shows. I don't know if you guys have anything that you track that deeply that you're like, oh, here's a script that never got produced.
Oh, you know me, bringing it back to Star Wars, but there's a whole sequel trilogy.
Yeah, no, tell me.
Script, you know, like the movies could have gone a whole other different direction if they went with one guy's script over the other. So, you know, there's plenty of stuff like that, especially.
You know, I have that script downloaded and I haven't read it yet. Is it good?
It's different. I mean, we never saw it. We never saw it. I don't know what makes a good script or a bad script. The fourth script of the other one could have been, of A New Hope, could have been the better script than the one that we got on screen. I don't know. It was different. It was different. But it's a version we'll never see because they decided to go another direction. And it'd always be a what if. But now we're just doing what ifs now. Okay. Every company is doing their version of what ifs now. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe we'll see it in Lego version.
Oh, yeah. I think for me, the one that comes to mind, you guys probably didn't watch Beast Wars, or maybe you did.
Oh, definitely did.
Oh, yeah. I watched Beast Wars. Yeah, okay. Animation.
So do you guys know about guys know about the lost episode of Beast Wars?
No, tell me about it.
Yeah, please.
There, spoilers for Beast Wars. So two of the characters, Dinobot and Rattrap, have this like begrudging friendship. And then Dinobot eventually dies. There was a scrapped episode where basically Rattrap finds like a backup of Dinobot. And at this point, the evil Dinobot, the recreated, like revived version exists. And he's like, I'm going to upload this into that like abomination and get my friend back. And I think they basically were like, this is too dark and sad to like show. But yeah, that was like a whole lost episode of like him trying to get his friend back by like hijacking this evil person's body and uploading his friend into it.
That's dark. That's very dark.
But yeah,
I can just picture that in the animation style of Beast Wars, and it sounds terrifying. That's like worse. That's worse than the Wicked Witch episode, I think.
Right. It really is. But yeah, and that's just like a lost one where it's, I don't even know if the script is out there or if just like the concept was like at some point mentioned in an interview. But yeah, it's just, it's a whole wild thing, which that brings me to something I wanted to talk about in this. There was a study, I just saw this morning, that basically 38% of the internet from before 2013 is lost. Like just pages deleted, moved, domains not re-upped. And 8% of pages that were made in 2023 are gone. So like the internet, I think is pretty that's a cultural artifact. But so tracking down something like this of like, how do I go find that interview where this episode was talked about? Like that stuff is even going to get harder. So why do we not care about preserving the internet, which is like arguably just as important as preserving movies and shows and all this stuff?
I wonder if it's because people feel like it's not a communal responsibility. I'm sorry, I don't know why I say it's responsibility.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Like that. But because each website is managed by its own team, you know? But like, we know that like, if you wanted to save something, like I could print an article or an interview or like a web page as a PDF and I could save it as a file. And like, we could develop an entire archive on said website. I think if we're thinking about it from like a community responsibility, then I think that would be the move we should make, because the internet is essentially just this giant collection of information and history for humanity at this point. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about it as like, okay, but like, are these individual websites going to take the time to archive their pages? And then like, then it's still, they probably still have to think like, well, who's going to house it all? Who's going to pay for that storage? Who's going to like save it? Who's going to like, you know, like who's going to preserve the history or like all this information?
Oh yeah.
And like, usually, I mean, like when I think about like when I have to research papers and stuff, like, you know, I find things through like research journals or you go through the library database and you can search something and it'll come up. But it's like, yeah, I guess because like websites probably, if they don't value it enough to save it, then it's not going to be saved.
Yeah. I mean, I'm now realizing like in the 90s, my dad ran an education resource website that he just was like making in his own time. got used by people all over the world as a resource. And then one day he just was like, I'm spending too much time on this. I'm done. Didn't renew the domain. And I think that website, if it exists, is on a hard drive in my parents' garage.
Right.
And it's just gone.
Yeah.
And even then I'm like, I don't even know if my dad kept that hard drive or if he eventually recycled it. Cause like you're saying, like, who's going to, you know, the people who made it have to care enough to store it, archive it, all this other stuff. And like, that wasn't his priority. Cause he was like, I have kids that I'm raising. I need to do that instead. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't even thought about that of like, there is this perceived like investment and it's like, what's the point of it? Like, why is it valuable to me to save this? Or is it being saved as a curiosity?
Right.
Which I think is also a question to ask about media is like, are we saving it to save it or are we saving it? Cause it's like, I don't know, I might want to look at it.
I mean, I think anybody who is a collector of like maybe comics or you're a video game enthusiast or like me, manga, like mm-hmm. I have manga that I have like maybe read only once, but I know I want to have the printed manga. Like I know I want to have a complete collection of One Piece one day. I'm taking my time with it. Mm-hmm. But.
Oh, definitely do.
Yeah. But it's like one of those things where it's like, I've read it digitally, but I know I want to possess a physical copy of it. And I was talking about it earlier with my friends, and it's like, when I have kids one day, I want them to be able to enjoy and like know this kind of stuff that I really loved and I enjoyed. And like when I found out the news about like the Mighty Ducks cartoon not being available on Disney Plus, I was kind of like, damn, like that would have been one of the shows. Like, I don't know what I'll do if they took Gargoyles away from me. But like that's kind of like the thing I think about is like I kind of want to preserve it and have it to look at it later, even if I've already consumed it and I don't refer to it often. I mean, I will probably read One Piece from the start to end again one day when it when it's done. But it's one of those things that like I value this piece of media and I really, really want it to like have something of it besides just like what's digitally available. Because one day it could be gone too.
Yeah, I think something that you're hitting on for me is like, it's that we ascribe value and importance to stories. Like I did the same thing. I read Usagi Yojimbo from like issue one, volume one, all the way through to like the present day. And it was that comic has been in production since the 80s. Like, and then I was like, I read a lot of it through Hoopla. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of it, some of it physically, but I have been slowly buying every volume and adding to this collection. It's like a whole bookshelf at this point, because I want to have it because I will want to read it one day. I'll want to share it with nieces and nephews. And it's that we ascribe power. And I think that's kind of why lost media gets frustrating, because when you're looking for lost media, you have ascribed value and power to that story. And then it just isn't available to you because it's not important to other people. Mm-hmm. And so there's like this subconscious frustration of like, well, why don't you guys care about this? Like, why isn't this available?
Yeah. And it's like, I don't necessarily want to pirate it. I guess we know
that too. Yeah.
We know there are ways we can access stuff the illegally way. And I'm one of those people where it's like, I don't really want to go and read Dzatch Bell on one of these manga websites, but it's like, well, I guess all I can do is be patient and wait and hope that there'll be a reprint one day. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, yeah, there's people who are like, you know, you could just read it online. Like, you know, you could just go ahead and like, probably find the whole website. Somebody like DM me and said like, oh, I'll send you links to the HD videos. I'm like, first of all, it's probably a virus. I won't be doing that. But it's like, yeah, we could go and pirate these things. Like, I'm sure there's some new 2024 version of LimeWire out there somewhere that we could go and rip things off and put them on a hard drive. But we also are talking about like, we have ascribed value to these things, which means we also have ascribed value to the creators of them. So that's probably why we don't want to pirate them in the first place.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. Like you, I mean, and that goes to the, you know, I guess ethical consumption, for lack of a better phrase, of like, I want to, like, yes, I could go to the library, get a movie, rip it to my computer, throw it on Plex, But if it's like, you know, some small indie director, you're like, no, I want to do this in a way that sends them money, that, you know, in a way that supports them, that shows appreciation for their art. And I think that that's, yeah, a lot of this comes down to like, how do you conceptualize your own personal relationship to art? Is what's at play here. And I don't think that that's a thing that most people think about, if I'm being honest.
Oh, they definitely don't.
And I do have another question kind of on the topic of like, you know, things just kind of disappearing that you find valuable, but other people apparently don't, is like, as far as like lost versus forgotten, like something truly lost, no one can get access to. Something forgotten is like, it only lives in your head. Is there practically a difference, or are those just kind of the same thing?
I think it's kind of the same thing, just based on kind of what we've been talking about. It's all about the value you attribute it to, right? And I don't know why I keep bringing it back to this, but I just love the way you talked about that 3-song album, right? Like, that is something that if you ask a Swiftie if that album matters, they don't care about that album. But for you, that probably means more than any Taylor Swift album that that exists, you know? So I think that's what it all comes down to. It's just our own personal values and whether or not we can are able to consume those in ways that, you know, we can be happy with, knowing that at the end of the day, when we pull the thing off the head, it's going to be capitalism's fault anyway. So
every time,
consume it while you can, consume it as you can, because, you know, they're gonna make the money with or without whether I pirate this thing or not, I'm being honest, and I spend more than enough money on these companies and throw more than enough money at these companies in other ways that getting my, you know, Dragon Ball DVD of, you know, whatever pirated, they'll be okay. I've plenty of other things.
Survive. Yeah.
Look at all this back there. Oh, yeah. They'll be good.
I feel like there's situations where it's just like, I'm definitely going to get one of those game consoles that I can have an emulator on, so I can play the Sailor Moon video games that they refuse to re-release. But, you know, I also feel like...
Yeah, honestly, message me after this. I will help you.
Dude, my brother, me and my brother just had like, kind of, not like a lost media conversation, but like a lost kind of like memory gaming conversation, where I sent him a gaming PC, and for the first time in his life, he's a PC gamer, but all this guy can seem to do is play emulators. So he's been playing like Def Jam Fight for New York, which for me was like a game I hadn't thought about in forever. But then we went down this whole like lost rabbit hole where we're unlocking memories for this game, and I can't play it anywhere. I don't have anything in my house to play it. I have all these consoles, I have all these things, I don't have the one console to play this, so now I need an emulator to play it. Yeah. And also, apparently, and, you know, it has a huge fight community. This game came out 20 years ago, and they had, like, a big tournament that has, like, 700,000 views on YouTube. And it blows my mind that, again, we just don't let things get lost if we don't want them to get lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is one thing, though, that I'm realizing. So we talked a little bit about, like, old games that get lost. What we didn't talk about is new games that get lost because they get updated and patched, and the version that you loved doesn't exist anymore. Like, I got heavy into Overwatch, like, the first year that it was out, dropped off for, like, 2 years, came back to it, did not recognize the game at all, could not get into it. I feel like World of Warcraft has done some, maybe it's just Activision and Blizzard doing this, but, Adrian, you might be able to speak to that, but, like, World of Warcraft has kind of done the same, where, like, it just gets updated and changed, and it's not quite what you remember.
No,
depending on how long you've been away.
I would say that World of Warcraft has actually done a really great job of recapturing those feelings through World of Warcraft Classic, as someone who plays that, you know, pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. They do a good job of capturing that. When you say that, what my mind goes to is immediately goes to Star Wars Galaxies, and the fact that they changed their game in a way. They had a huge combat evolve update, and it basically changed the entire game to the point where moving forward, it wasn't the same, and they didn't release that other part of the game anywhere else. So you had to go to like private servers and all these things to even experience the game in the same way, just because of big rounding updates that have completely changed the way the game is played. It's not even the same game.
Interesting. Okay, good to know. But yeah, that's just a whole other way that things get lost is supposedly improvements. But yeah, I feel like that, like, this has been a good conversation. Is there any lost media that you want to mention just to see if anyone else remembers it?
Before
we wrap up? Yes,
Powerpuff Girls-y.
I had not heard about this until I was researching for this episode. Talk to me about this.
Okay, so essentially it is the Powerpuff Girls, but it's an anime, and they look more like teenagers, and like similar premise, but like Professor Utonium isn't Professor Utonium, I think, and then like he has a son, and then like they somehow make the girls by adding chemical Z. But like they look like magical girls, but like not like the like two.
But this is just a full magical girl anime adaptation of Powerpuff Girls,
essentially. But like, because like they have a transformation and
outfit. I'm sold.
Yes, immediately. And Toei put it out, but it is not. It is nowhere.
All right.
I have not seen it anywhere, and I'm just so frustrated because I'm like, is there a DVD? I assume there has to be a DVD out there, and I'm hoping that it's subtitled. I would hope so. I mean, I would assume so. It wasn't that long ago that it was made, but Powerpuff Girls Z is one. It's like, you can find art out there. You can find cosplays of people wearing the costumes still to this day. And it's like, all the villains are on there, and then like there's some new villains, but it's like they're all redesigned and more of like magical girl-esque, like the 2010 yeah. era of anime is kind of like what they look, but like they just look so cool, and I really, really want to watch it from like beginning to end.
You can spend $28 for the DS game on eBay, or you can spend $120 for a sealed action figure.
Yeah, no, I don't even know where my DS.
But no DVDs that I'm seeing. I don't know.
See, and Hi Puffy AmiYumi.
But man,
that's another lost media where I have not been able to find like where to stream it. I would have thought it would have been on Max, but Hi Puffy AmiYumi, if anyone watched Teen Titans, they were the group, the girl group that sang the opening. And then they had a spin-off cartoon of the two girl characters.
Okay.
And it was just everything. Nice. It was very cool. But yeah, I just, those are like the, besides Zatch Bell, and then like, I think those two are the ones I'm most passionate about finding something besides like YouTube videos of clips, because I can find clips. I just want to watch like the full episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I've sat on my soapbox long enough.
Fair. Adrian, do you have anything?
No, I'm just a big fan of the Shrek memes that come out of like the lost media of Shrek, like, you know, the Chris Farley Shrek stuff, and then just
Farley Shrek stuff is really good.
Yeah, like that stuff is fun. The memes that come out of lost media, I think, are some of my favorites. It's kind of like looking good. I was like, went through like a list of like lost media things, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a lost media. I thought that was just like a funny tidbit, funny meme. I think those, I think, lend to, in a more positive side, like lend into like the creation of the media, so we can kind of see what it looked like from the other sides. And it's great that we have people who are, you know, willing to preserve it.
Yeah. I think for me, the only one that comes to mind, and it's not lost. I can go online and watch this if I want, but it is forgotten. But since you guys watch Beast Wars, you might know this. Did you ever watch Mummies Alive?
Yes. Sorry. That was very loud. No. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. You are the second person I've met who has watched that show. Like, one of my friends has heard of it and watched it, and you, and that's it.
I was just talking about that on Twitter like a few weeks ago, and it's just like, between that and then there was like, I think maybe because it came out on Kids WB, like on that, like that morning block of cartoons, along with Ultimate Muscle was like another one, I think, that came on in that range, and like also another form of lost media. It was just so good, and it feels like it was a fever dream, but like, it's not a fever dream, y'all. Like, it was a legit thing. Like, these mummies came back to life to save the reincarnation
I don't know what
and they have like power up armor. Is,
but it's, this looks exactly like would have been up my alley, you know.
It ruled. Sharks, I loved it. I had an action figure.
The dinosaur one, dude. Sign me up. This looks exactly. Where can I find this?
Dude, it was so good.
It was so good. Cree Summers.
But yeah, I just anytime. Oh yeah. I think that's the other thing, is that it's it's weird knowing that the generation after us or generations after us won't necessarily have these moments because so much of what they watched is still available online or is like easily pirated, easily found. And here I'm like, oh, do you remember this one weird sitcom that aired at 8:30 in the morning? Like, you know, or this weird kids cartoon and people are like, oh yeah, I know what that is. And
like swap.
Yeah, yeah. So that moment of connection.
Until Vine goes away and then everything is gone and just on random YouTube compilations.
I still watch Vine compilations, but I feel like I've seen everything that's been saved at this point.
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, then we have a TikTok here coming up, you know, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Then just sites in general, like we talked about. So they might. I think the conversation is just going to be different. I think they're just going to lose parts of their things just digitally in the way that, you know, we'll probably have started to back things up by then.
Yeah.
Horrors by beyond our comprehension.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that tracks. All right, so I think that does it for this week. But before we go, do you guys have any articles that you want to plug or media to recommend? Anything like that?
Media that you can find that I would recommend is Windbreaker on Crunchyroll along with Kaiju Number 8. And also check out Go-Go Loser Ranger. For anyone who was a Power Rangers fan growing up or currently, I think people would really enjoy Go-Go Loser Rangers because it's like very different from the Power Rangers we grew up with. And yeah, it's a good time.
Okay. This reminds me to go back into things that we've already talked about. Nisha, have you heard of the live action animated hybrid American adaptation of Sailor Moon?
That's a lot of things. What?
It is. So here's what it is. It's a live action Sailor Moon adaptation, but when they transform and go to fight and stuff, those sequences are all animated. Apparently there was like a 10-minute pilot that just resurfaced after like 20 years, like a few years ago. I watched a few minutes of it today. It's a lot, but it's also fascinating.
Okay, so I do remember there being clips. Like, I remember seeing clips of the pilot because I had to think for a second of like, I didn't remember like it being a hybrid one. I remember seeing clips of like seeing the live action transformation for like they were just like a Japanese schoolgirl, like actually live person.
Oh yeah, no. This is just like American kids.
Oh, did not.
Yeah,
know
I'll
about
I'll send
that.
It to you. It is interesting.
Sounds like a trip, but yeah, I would be curious to watch it.
Adrian, do you have anything that you want to recommend?
Yeah, I know. I mean, around this time, we should be gearing up for Star Wars: The Acolyte coming out. So I'll be having some kind of pre articles coming out for that here pretty soon.
All right, very cool. I think what I'm going to recommend is it's a little bit old, but the game Inscription, I got back to playing it after a while away, and it's just a real fun card game wrapped up in this much stranger, bigger game. There's a lot of layers to it. It's hard to talk about it without spoiling it, but if you have not played Inscription, I think it's on sale for $10 right now, so go pick it up. With that, I think we can just kind of get out of here. So, Nisha, where can people find you online?
You guys can find me on all social media platforms at Nisha Plays. That's at NeyShaPlays.
All right. And Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me mostly on Instagram and TikTok these days, at SuperReese93.
All right. And if you liked what you have heard here and you want more, you're in luck. We're basically everywhere. Just look up But Why Though on your preferred platform is what I'm going to say. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. We're on Discord. We have a Patreon if you're interested in kicking us a few bucks. It helps us keep the show and the website going, making the content that you enjoy. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at mostalwaysalex. Thank you guys so much for joining me. This was a great conversation, and thank you at home for listening.
Yeah, make sure we're not lost media.